everybody, good morning and welcome to the United Stand. This is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news this Sunday morning. 2 years of Solskjaer to the day. Officially 2 years of Solskjaer. I mean, I personally think it's not 2 years. I think that this is something that people do to make it seem shorter than it is. But you can't say it's 2 years of Solskjaer when, and then claim the 4 months before, which are actually four of his best months at the club, that interim period. But 2 years officially of Solskjaer. We'll talk about that a little bit later. In fact, we've got the 8 o'clock show tonight with Jay and Ricky and Flex and Beth and me and Kev. So we'll be talking about that a lot more in depth. But let's start off with a few positives. We're going to be talking about quite a few things this morning. It's Sunday morning in the UK. We've added an hour on. It's 10 o'clock for you probably, but it's 11 o'clock for us. The clocks go forward for British summertime. But there's stories out there. We're going to talk about a potential transfer exodus with people unhappy. I mean, I can start off by saying to you quite a lot of interaction on social media this morning about this. I just put a tweet out. Van Dijk has played 371 minutes in the Premier League this season for Liverpool. Alex Telles has played 511. Van der Beek has played just 311. We're in game week 30 and Van Dijk's season ended in game week 5. Van Dijk has played nearly an hour's more football. Well, actually an hour's more football than Van der Beek this season. Our backup left back has played more football than Van der Beek this season in the Premier League. I'm not using Telles as minutes, although some people would say it's a joke that Telles hasn't played more. But what I'm saying is Telles, who's a backup left back quite comfortably to Luke Shaw this season, has played way more minutes than Van der Beek. And an injured player who got injured in game week 5 has played more Premier League minutes than Van der Beek. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. And it feeds into this potential transfer exodus we're going to get this summer, because he played 11 minutes last night. His Euro spot is in danger. The World Cup's at the end of next season. I just think that, you know, there's a real issue there. But I want to just start off with a few positives, because I don't think we get that enough, really. Some real positives coming out of this international break. Bruno won't play this week because he's suspended. Rashford's obviously left England, and Greenwood's getting 2 weeks of rest as well. Paul Pogba's playing for France today in the pivot, and Deschamps has basically said Pogba's not fully match fit at the moment, so they need to feed him into the team, which helps us, because by the time we play Brighton next week, Pogba should have played at least, you know, an hour and a half across the next two French games, which gives him that match fitness that we need him for the run-in. So there's real positives there. Also, Paul Pogba will be playing in the pivots. I was just having a bit of a debate with somebody on social media about this. Paul Pogba, when he plays for France, plays in a midfield two with Kante. I think he's going to play with Ndombele today. And he has an attacking four ahead of him. For some reason, Manchester United put him on the bloody wing to play a couple of Duracell bunnies. So, look, at least we're seeing Paul Pogba play where we want him to play. Why do you think Man United never buy players with potential and turn them into 80 to 100 million players like Dortmund or Barcelona are doing, says Iander. I disagree with you on that. I think that is the Manchester United way. I think that Bruno Fernandes, he's going to be a player that's worth double what we paid for him a year ago. I think the ideal is to do that. Unfortunately, we just haven't brought the right players in. We're talking about Sarr from Watford in a minute. But just on Bruno, I just want to say this. Very, very interesting. If you watched Bruno Fernandes playing for Portugal last night, I nearly said Spain, that would be controversial. Playing for Portugal last night, there's loads of little compilation clips of Bruno. Now, first of all, I just want to say, don't get carried away, because international football is not Premier League football. There's a big difference. International football is not as good. So I can't say that I'm not, wow, Scott McTominay got a man of the match performance for Scotland against Austria, and then say, look at Bruno when he played for Portugal last night against Serbia. But what I would pick out from that, and what you can pick out from that, is whatever the level of the football is, watch some of the clips of Bruno that are floating around last night and then compare it to Manchester United. And the big thing, and we've spoken about this before, he's playing with technically better players in a better system that gets him the ball quicker. The amount of times he's around the middle of the pitch or to the start of his attacking half with space, because the ball is coming to him quickly from the back four or the midfield pivot. And he gets the ball quickly, he's got space, and he's pinging these balls off. Now, he gives the ball away quite a lot still, but he's playing some wonderful passes. He's even going past people, and there's so much space. You're like, man, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's like watching Bruno Fernandes at his best, because there's so much space for him. And that's because Portugal are actually a Portugal traditionally are a counter-attacking side, but they weren't really last night. But what they're doing is they're moving the ball back from quickly from back to front. And the dangerous thing is some of our fans will watch it and go, oh, look at Bruno, he's great. Let's expect that against Brighton this time next week. But we know against Brighton next week, we'll move the ball slowly. And it's so simple. It's so, so simple. If you give our attackers the space, whether it's Rashford, Greenwood, Bruno, even Dan James, you give them the space, they're going to exploit that space. You give them slow ball and an opposition has got a bank of four and a bank of four, you're not going to get that space. And it's such a contrast. It's Manchester United's biggest issue. And this is what we're talking about last night. People saying sign Erling Haaland. What benefit is it to Erling Haaland when he's getting the ball? Well, he's not even getting the ball, but when he does get the ball, he's got loads of defenders around him. If he was playing last night for Portugal and Bruno's picking it up with space and pinging it in behind or finding the ball into his feet, he's going to score more goals. And this is the problem. Manchester United's centre-backs and the midfield are so crap at moving the ball quickly that when Bruno or Rashford or Greenwood or anyone gets the ball in a United shirt, the opposition is set. But when you watch Portugal last night, they're moving that ball quickly. They're all technically good footballers. They can all pass a ball and it's done quickly. They might take two touches, but they get it into feet. The first touch is like literally they've controlled it in no time and then bang, the pass is off. Whereas United, it's, you know, four or five. You got that McTominay thing where he puts his foot on it and pivots to go backwards. You've got Fred where he can't even bloody find a red shirt. And you've got Matic who, you know, is like a bloody lawnmower that won't start. You know, you're pulling the thing trying to get him moving. So this is really the issue at Manchester United. And it was a really interesting thing to watch Bruno last night. These days, United is run like a kebab shop. What is the cheapest meat we can buy to sell to drunk folk at 4 a.m? Buy the minimum for top four and likes, says Avi. So yeah, I thought that was very interesting about Bruno. Graham says it's not McFred's fault; it's the manager for picking them. Well, I think that's obvious, isn't it? That is obvious. But then again, who else are you going to play in there? Mark, Bruno played excellent last night in an eight. He can play alongside a CDM. If Pogba leaves, I do think United should get a world class cam. Says Tarek. Bruno is suspended for the next game for Portugal, isn't he? So maybe this is an unforeseen rest that he needs that Ollie doesn't give him as a player. I think it's a positive, Salah. I really do. Quite a lot to talk about. I want to talk about Van der Beek and this potential transfer exodus, but something that's a little bit new that I just wanted to bring you in. Saar from Watford. Ta-da! It's Saar. Now, everyone will know that I didn't want this signing to happen last summer, and it very nearly did. We were speaking about this yesterday, that it very nearly did. The sporting director, I think, at Watford said it was very close to happening. I was very against it. I was very against Dembele. And the reason for that is because we'd spent all summer trying to get Sancho, and I didn't want inferior goods. I wanted Sancho, as many of you did, and it just felt like a failure. And to be honest with you, I said it at the time and I'll say it again. We were sold a PS5 last summer. We were told we were going to get a PS5 and, you know, everyone thought we were going to get a PS5. And then to get, you know, a PS3 would have been annoying. There's great games on PS3. You know, there's some classics on there. You know, you can have a good time with a PS3, but it ain't a PS5. And that's why last summer I didn't want Dembele and I didn't want Saar. But where we are now, things change. Now, yeah, Saar's been playing in the Championship, but that plays into our hands because he's 23 years of age. Now, listen to me out on this. I don't even know where I am myself. I just want to know where you are. There is talk this morning that Manchester United will go in for Saar from Watford, who probably will get promoted, but you wouldn't really have to pay much more than 30 to 40 million for him. 23 years of age. Now, I actually like the player. I think he's a good player, and I liked him in the Premier League. I have worries about consistency, but I think consistency, I would say wingers are the most inconsistent players on a football pitch. Traditionally, stereotypically, they are. I mean, even Ryan Giggs was a bit hit and miss at times in a United shirt. So, Ashley Young was prime example of that. He'd have 5 games a season when he was like Lionel Messi, and then he'd have 35 games where he's Lionel Blair. So it's like, you don't know what you know, wingers are inconsistent and Saar is inconsistent. But my thought about this is, would Saar not be a good signing for Manchester United from where we are? Unfortunately, we can moan about it, but we can't escape the fact that our owners will never chuck £200 million at a summer. So if we're operating within a limited budget and we need 4 or 5 players, which we're never going to get, you try and get as many as you can for the best price you can. Well, instead of going for Sancho for 80 million and wasting all summer again, maybe you go for Ismaël Saar for 35 million. You get a right winger who is decent, but allows Diallo and Pellestri a fighting chance. If you spend 80 million on Sancho, Diallo, what's going to happen with him? What's going to happen with Pellestri? Because Sancho will always have to play. He'll become Harry Maguire. Now, I think Sancho's a very good signing, but when you spend 80 million on a player, they're always going to play. You spend 35 million on Sarr, yeah, he comes in, you know, you expect him to be good, but there's an opportunity for Diallo to knock him out in a footballing sense. So I think it, and also the great thing is you've spent half the price on a winger, which frees up the other half for something else. So I'm not opposed to Sarr this summer as much as I was last year. And obviously, I've just explained why. You know, it's not contradiction. It's not flip-flopping. It's the reality is that football moves on. Last summer, Sancho was the priority signing. I didn't realise that Ollie was going to break up the midfield and make us crap there. And I didn't really realise how bad our centre-backs were. But after a season, I think centre-back and CDM are the priority. But we still need a right winger. And maybe someone like Sark at 23, and he's only just 23 as well. I think his age is in his favour. He could be a decent signing. So I wouldn't be totally opposed to that. I think United have got to box cover. We've got to use the budget. We can't get Haaland up front, Sancho up right wing, Declan Rice in the midfield, Grealish as a replacement for Pogba, and Varane. You know, you've just spent 300, 400 million there. We can't do that. If Man United buys a CDM in the summer and Pogba goes, should we wait another season to see if McTominay gets better as a box-to-box before we buy a Pogba replacement? I think that will happen, Ayunda. Look, I'm not... I mean, I'm going to get absolute pelters for this now. I'm not opposed to giving McTominay a go as a box-to-box midfielder because that's what he is. He's not a centre defensive midfielder. I mean, to me, it's like asking... it's like asking James Maddison to play as a holding midfielder. He's not going to be able to do it. Now, obviously, Maddison's way better than McTominay, but you're still playing a position, player out of position. I mean, look, let's be honest. If Scott McTominay was 5'8", he wouldn't be used as a CDM. He's being used as a CDM because he's tall. It's the most... This used to happen when I used to play football at school when I was 12. If you were one of the taller kids, you'd get put at centre-back. It used to happen all the time. I was a winger and I used to get put centre back because at 13 I was nearly 6 foot. But I never grew after that. I always knew I was more of an attacking type of player. And eventually I moved into CDM because that's about as bloody good as I could get from centre back. But I got put at centre back because I was tall, relatively quick and quite good on the ball. So I got put as a centre back because I was tall. And I think if McTominay wasn't so tall, he wouldn't be playing where he plays. And he is a box-to-box player. What I would like to see next season happen is if Pogba goes, I would like to see Van der Beek given the opportunity with McTominay as the backup and let them fight it out. But as we know, it will be McTominay. Would love to deliver a simple ultimatum to the Glazers. Take us to the top of World Club football or sell for the club and the fans' sakes, says David. Well, you can deliver it. It doesn't mean it will happen. Mark, it was my 21st birthday yesterday. I missed you live, both live streams. Could you please wish me a happy birthday and call me a Pratt, says Aziz. I'm not going to call you a Pratt, Aziz, but happy birthday for yesterday. 21's always a big one and enjoy it. I'd have to disagree. If you continue Diallo, Pellestri and Sarr, total price including add-ons, you could have got Sancho anyway. Quality then quantity. Well, Jake, that's a very good point, Jake, but we're already down that road, aren't we? We've already spent the money on Diallo and Pellestri anyway. Hi, Mark. Please could you say happy birthday to my brother Dan? I can't see him today due to lockdown. We both love United and watch the channel every day, says Leanne. Happy birthday to Dan. And at the end of the day, whatever the coaching staff or even other fans think of Telles and Van der Beek, they are too good to ride the bench and should look to move. I'm going to talk about that now, Southpaw. And when you signed Harry, you said he was England's best centre-back and a true leader. Do you regret that, says Zane Miassi? No, I don't, because I think you have to own your opinion at the time. And I didn't watch Leicester every week. I do watch a lot of England and what I'd seen of Harry Maguire. I remember the season we bought him. He scored an important goal at Anfield, didn't he? I thought Harry Maguire was better than he is. And I still think he's better than he is. So I stand by it. We needed a centre-back. I'm not going to pretend that I wasn't happy with the signing of Harry Maguire. I thought we overpaid. We know we overpaid. But I'm not going to pretend that I thought he was going to be crap. And to be honest with you, I don't think Maguire's shown the form that we bought. But, you know, I'm not going to lie about that. Going on to the Van der Beek thing then. So, look, there is... There is a lot of this around. It's around in the media and it's around in the fan base. And, you know, this has been a really significant week for Manchester United. I want to give a bit of a backdrop to what we're going to talk about here. Solskjaer's transfer exodus. There is good news and bad news about this. Categorically, the dressing room is a happy and safe place at the moment. There's not dressing room unrest at Manchester United at the moment. And the reason for that is because Paul Pogba and Eric Bailly are thinking about going, so they're not unhappy. They're going to decide in the summer. They're not going to cause major issues at the moment. There was a story about Eric Bailly not being happy that he played against AC Milan, but you're going to get those sort of blow-ups anyway when a player doesn't get picked. But they're not causing issues because they know in the summer their future will be decided. So Pogba and Bailly could leave this summer, but they're not causing issues. So they're not causing an issue in the dressing room. Van der Beek, Telles, Martial to a certain extent, and a couple of others are not happy, but they don't have the influence in the dressing room to make it an unhappy place. Van der Beek and Telles have only just come into the club. This is going to be conversations with the management in the summer with their agent about what's going on. So they're unhappy, but they can't influence the dressing room because the dressing room is influenced by happy people. Harry Maguire, Scott McTominay, Marcus Rashford. These are big personalities in that dressing room who are favourites of Solskjaer. So the dressing room is not fractured. The dressing room at Manchester United, on a positive sense, has probably never been so united behind a manager, because this goes back to what happened against Everton when the story about Pochettino broke a couple of days before. Ollie went with the people he can trust. Maybe not his best players, but he went with the players he can trust. He went with Bruno, he went with McTominay, he went with Fred, he went with Mata, he went with James, he went with Maguire, he went with Lindelof, he went with Luke Shaw. The majority of his favourites, as people call them, are actually people who are happy with Solskjaer. So Solskjaer surrounds himself with people who've got his back, which ain't a bad thing in management. Like, if your manager's a manager of McDonald's or your manager of bloody Deutsche Bank, if you have issues within your team, you surround yourself with the people that are going to protect you. That's what a good leader does. So there's not dressing room unrest at Manchester United in the sense that, you know, Solskjaer's in trouble, but obviously, we know there is an issue in relation to the fact that he doesn't use the wider squad and he overuses his favourites. There is issues coming in the summer. Van der Beek cannot afford another season like this. And arguably, neither can Alex Telles. Now, I don't keep an eye on South American football as much as you do. But as my understanding is, Telles does play for Brazil. But how long can that last when you are not being picked for Manchester United, who are not the best team in the world? So, Telles and Van der Beek are going to have a discussion with Solskjaer in the summer and Manchester United. And this could lead to issues in relation to players leaving. And this is absolutely going to happen. Because if you are Donny Van der Beek and you are Alex Telles, you cannot accept what is going on. Now, look, in football, in anywhere, sometimes you got to go. It's not working out. This, you know, it's not a falling out point. It's like, I've got to go for me. Oh, this doesn't work. But what's going to change for Telles next season? Luke Shaw's probably solidified his position as Manchester United's left back for the next 4 or 5 years. So Telles' future does not look good. Does he want to be a backup to Luke Shaw? I mean, I don't see that. As for Donny van der Beek, what's going to change next season? As I said, 311 Premier League minutes this season, and we're on game week 30. He's averaging 10 minutes a game, which is, you know, doesn't sound too bad, does it, over 30 games? But realistically, 311 minutes out of 30 games in the Premier League is a joke, an absolute joke, especially for a player. And look, I don't want to wake up the cult that is Donny van der Beek's a number 10 and only a number 10. Donny van der Beek is probably one of our most universal. It's not universal. That's not the word I'm thinking about. He can play in loads of different positions, and yet he's played a pitiful amount of minutes. Donny van der Beek can play in a pivot. Donny van der Beek can play off the right and off the left, like we've used Pogba and Juan Mata before him. Donny van der Beek can play as a number 10. It's probably the least time he's going to get with Bruno, but Donny van der Beek can play in about 5 positions, and yet he's only played 311 minutes. So there's a conversation that's going to happen there, especially because it's messing up his career with Holland as well now. So that is going to happen, and it's going to be very interesting what happens, because as we've said many times before, there are issues. Every player we bought last summer, there is an issue with. Cavani looks like he wants to go. Telles, I think he will look to go at some point. Van der Beek is obviously going to have a conversation. Pelestri's already on loan. And Diallo, well, look, what is the path for Diallo? Because Diallo looks like a really good signing, but what is the path for Diallo? Maybe he should have played more minutes over the last few weeks. If we buy a right winger in the summer, does that, you know, limit his chances even more? So it's interesting. I think Donny van der Beek will get his chance if we have a midfield injury crisis, says Life of Young Six. I mean, you're not wrong. There was that time, wasn't there, in November where Pogba and McTominay were injured and he did play a little bit and I thought he played quite well. But what I will say is, people think Donny van der Beek, and you see it quite a lot in our fan base. You see it with rivals because that's what's going to happen. I do it with Liverpool and Arsenal fans. You're always going to take the piss out of their signings. But there are people in our fan base who, if you tweet something about van der Beek, there will be a few United fans who go, he's shit, that's why he doesn't get picked. And I refute this with total and utter frustration because people forget what van der Beek's done this season. He's only played 311 minutes. That is basically 3.5 games. That is nothing. 311 minutes, 270 minutes is 3 games. So he's played 3.5 games for Manchester United out of 30. It's terrible in the Premier League. But if I tell you those 3.5 minutes, well, he played about... So 3.5 minutes, 3.5 games, right? So straight away, I know he came on against Crystal Palace. I can't remember how many minutes he came on for. He scored a goal against Crystal Palace. We were shit in that game, but people forget that van der Beek scored a goal in that game. But it gets forgotten because we were so crap. Another game he came on for about another half of about half an hour was Newcastle. We were playing absolutely crap. He came on and did really, really well. And this is the thing with van der Beek. When he's actually played, he's played well. But because we don't see him very often, people think, oh, he's just crap. He's played 311 minutes in the Premier League. Blink and you've missed it. But when he's actually been used, he's played really well. There's this myth around van der Beek that, oh, he's just a shit flop. But actually, when he's played really well. And that's the thing that makes me laugh, is that when he has played, he's played well. But it's been so minimal that now people are almost going, well, he's just a flop. How can you be a flop when you've only played 311 minutes out of 30 games? It's amazing. I mean, what's 30 times 90? Let me just say, what's 30 times 90? 90. So 10 times 90 is 900. 2,700 minutes is 2,700 minutes is what Man United have played in the Premier League, right? But you've got to add on another... Probably got to add on another sort of 5 times 10, 50. You probably got to add another 150 minutes onto that because of stoppage time. Because 311 minutes includes stoppage time. So nearly 2,800 minutes we've played of Premier League football and Donny van der Beek has played 311. It's just about 10%. It's not good enough, is it? It's not good enough for a player of that quality. And yet in that time, I think he's done really well. So... Yeah, he needs to play more. But I will argue with people who say he's been crap because actually he hasn't been crap. And let's not forget, it's also ridiculously difficult when you're playing in such a small period of time to make an impact. Consistency, I remember saying it about Fred for a while. Fred was always a player that needed a run of games. Van der Beek is the same. But it's harder. If you're playing centre defensive midfield, you're going to get the ball because the centre backs want to give somebody the ball and they've only got two options. If you're playing at number 10, you can get ignored. You can, because they can go wide and they can hit long. And I think with van der Beek, we haven't got the quality of players to play with him. Van Persie won as the league. Haaland will do the same, says United's call. No, I think you're living in a dream, to be honest. But keep dreaming. Keep dreaming. A number 9 is not going to win us the league anymore, I'm afraid. Van Persie came into a team that still had Rio and Vidic and Evra and Giggs and Rooney and I think Carrick was still playing as well. Yeah, they were getting older, but just because you get older, you don't lose your ability. So totally different set of circumstances. Another issue with van der Beek is some fans have become so conditioned to his slow, blunt and obvious brand of football, it makes it hard for them to pick up the subtle intricacies of his place as South Pole of sports. Anybody who knows anything about Donny van der Beek, ridiculously very good off the ball, very intelligent in his press, and also the sort of player that wants to get the ball numerous times. He wants to play little passes. He's patient. Donny van der Beek would play very well with Pogba and Bruno in the same team. And as I said, for me, our best performance this season in England was against Everton at Goodison Park just before Christmas. I implore you to go and watch. In fact, I'm going to do it again this morning. Go and find Everton, Manchester United, Carabao Cup final, quarter final, and watch the first half an hour. Van der Beek, Bruno, Pogba, all on the same pitch. think Cavani played up front and Eric Bailly played at centre back, and we pressed the life out of them. And I can't believe we've never done it again. Would you be worried if Bruno gets unhappy with Ollie, says Salah Ahmed? Well, he will. I mean, you know, Bruno's gone. In 18 months, Bruno's gone. Next summer, he's gone. Yeah, he's gone. Because the way we are heading, and I can't be honest about this. I can't be honest because I don't know the answer. But, you know, you can offer up a prediction. My prediction, expanding on what I've already said over the last couple of shows, is we will finish top four. He will quite rightly get his contract. We will mess the summer transfer window up. We will not be able to replicate what we've done this season. The fans will be back in the ground. They'll get frustrated with the style of football, and Solskjaer will be sacked at some point next season. Then next season, Bruno will still be a very good player in a team that's not really progressing. And next season, quite rightly, the vultures of PSG and Bayern Munich and Real Madrid and Juventus will come swarming in and say, you're wasted at this football club. We want to spend 100 million on you. And United will go, that's a 100% profit in just over 2 years. Oh, it's such a shame he wants to go on to better things. Cash back. And I think that's what will happen. So, I mean, it's not melodramatic, is it? It's logical. Why would one of... And look, I said this yesterday on Twitter. For me, who are the top five players in the world at the moment? I still think Messi and Ronaldo. I think Neymar. And then you can start arguing for the final two spots. Mbappe, Haaland, Lewandowski, Kevin De Bruyne, Van Dijk if he's fit. Bruno Fernandes has to be considered in there. He's certainly in the top 10 players in the world. So we've got one of the top 10 players in the world. Are we one of the top 10 clubs in the world? No. We are in status, but we're not in ability. So of course he will go. Of course he will go. It's logical. And Bruno will get frustrated, as Jordi says. And I think we've seen frustration from Bruno this season. I mean, look, Bruno Fernandes can only talk time and time again about... he said it on this international break. We need to be winning Premier Leagues. We need to be winning Champions Leagues. I don't care if I... I don't care if I'm bloody... Gary Neville's foster son. You know, I'm just trying to think of a top red. And I was born in a Man United kit. I don't care if I absolutely adore Manchester United. If I'm a 26-year-old footballer and I'm one of the best in the world and I can see that United are never going to get there, but I've tried, I'd be like, you know what? In 5 years' time, I'm on the decline. In 10 years' time, I've retired. Do I want to just stay here and be applauded as Alan Shearer at Newcastle? Or do I want to say I played for my boyhood club, I played for the club that I love, and I actually want to go and challenge myself. I want to play in the Champions League every year, and I want to win a title. I'm not going to do it at Liverpool or Man City, but I will do it at Real Madrid. I will do it at Juventus, and I will do it at PSG. Of course I will. And that's, you know, Bruno Fernandes isn't a born red, is he? I think he loves the club, and I think he, you know, wants to win here. But you've got to look after your career as a player. I mean, I don't have a problem with Paul Pogba. I don't have a problem with... you know, David Beckham and people like that that left Manchester United. I don't think they would like to do that if the circumstances was correct. But if we the fans were dictating what happens at the club, I don't think many clubs would leave. But footballers aren't stupid. They've got their career to look at, and they see the same issues. They probably see more issues than we do. I mean, look at this week. The story is that Nicky Butt, who is head of developments for the first team, basically. So Nicky Butt was basically the gateway for bringing young players into the first team. And he did it really well when you look at what he's done. We've lost a really important member of our setup this week. And we've lost him, if you believe the reports, and they're good reports, we've lost Nicky Butt because he's fell out with the person who is now our sporting director because he doesn't feel that that person has the best interests of the club at heart and feels that that person is a puppet for the Glazers. So... this is not getting discussed enough. The articles are out there. Nicky Butt has walked out on Manchester United for the same reason you would, and yet we're talking about Erling Haaland. We've lost somebody that feels the way we do. Nicky Butt is a red. He is absolutely a red. He is a United fan who has come through and witnessed United's bad times in the late 80s when he was a youngster to the good times in the mid-90s when he was coming through, to being a massive part of our coaching network and walking away. I don't think it's getting spoken about enough. Nicky Butt has walked out on this club because he's had enough, because he doesn't agree with what's happened. That's the story that's being put out there. And that is huge, because Nicky Butt is probably going to be more in tune with what you think than what the Glazers think. And Murta is seen as somebody that is Woodward's mate. You know, it's just the same old status quo. Now, look, hopefully things will get better having a football director and Darren Fletcher there. But I still think it's a big loss to lose somebody like Nicky Butt. Now, Bruno Fernandes, Paul Pogba, they're going to know more about the workings of Man United than what we know, because they're in. They're a soldier in the trenches. They know what's going on. They're in the dressing room. They'll have Sergio Romero saying, I'm fucking fuming. I wanted to go in the summer. They wouldn't let me go. I've wasted a year of my career. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to take my wages in the summer. I'll go and I'll piss them off and I'll earn 3 million. You know, they will know all this stuff. They will know that Ander Herrera was a really important player at that club, that loved the club, that they let his contract run down. So what goes on in the workings of that club isn't even what we know. So they're not stupid, are they? Hi, Mar. I watched the Portugal game last night and can say that Milenkovic isn't the answer at all. Fault for both goals and plays identical to Lindelof, says Luke. Well, I've said this about Milenkovic. I do think Milenkovic is a good player. I don't think you can totally dismiss a player because of how they play in international football. However, I would agree that you can pick up what a player's about. You can sort of feel their body shape. Don't feel their body shape. You'll get locked up. But you can feel with your eyes what they're doing with their body shape. Are they quick? Are they good on the ball? Are they anticipating the danger? And for me, I think Milenkovic is too close to a Maguire or Lindelof. And we need a player that's closer to a sort of Van Dijk. That's what we need. Pereira, Fred, McTominay, Pogba, Matic have all lost the ball at the edge of the box, leading to goals. Clear sign we need a CDM. Does Ollie have Carrick coaching throw-ins or something? Says Kill07. You know what we've got? Please smash a like on the video, by the way. I'm loving the show so far. What Manchester United have got is we've got people who can do this job, like Michael Carrick, who have retired, who are now trying to polish turds. We are trying to turn players into Michael Carrick. And the point is, we bought Michael Carrick. You can't mould a turd into Michael Carrick. You can't. It's always going to be shit. So if you want a Michael Carrick or a Kante, you've got to scout and bring in a Carrick or a Kante. Or you've got to have someone in your youth development, which we haven't got. You can't grab hold of Fred or McTominay and say, you're going to be Michael Carrick, because here's Michael Carrick. Michael, get the ball. Take him away. Go on. And next week, I want to see them like... You can't do that. How many dads and mums get their kid out in their garden every night kicking a ball because they want them to be Lionel Messi? And we haven't produced a Messi in England. And people have been doing this for 10 years because some of them have been doing it for 20 years. Because you see it and I see it. Like, my kids play football and they play football for the enjoyment of it. I don't chuck them out in the garden when it's pissing down with rain unless they want to do it. You know, they play football for the passion, which is what I did. And that passion will grow into you want to go out in the rain and you'll do it on your own. But I see these parents like, and they're out there. You know, you can tell the kid doesn't want to be there, because they've got a miserable face on, and the dad or the mum, they bought all the cones, they bought all the bouncy things, and it's like 20 press ups, you know. And you're like, I wonder why you're doing this then. I wonder why you're doing this. Probably because you want your kid to be a footballer, but you know what? They've got to want to do that. And also, it doesn't matter how many cones you watch or how many YouTube videos you watch, you've either got it or you haven't. And practice can take you up a level, but you can't polish a turd. You can't make Fred Carrick, because if you could do that, you'd make Lindelof into Van Dijk. You know, you'd make Wan-Bissaka into Cafu, you'd make Marcus Rashford into Ronaldo, which actually, you know, in some ways I think Rashford almost is a Tesco Ronaldo. And there's nothing wrong with being a Tesco Ronaldo, because Ronaldo is one of the greatest players there is. But what I'm saying is Rashford has got ability, but you can't do that, because if you football would be so easy. If you could grab a player and turn them into something better, then football would be easy. You know, Chelsea and Man City wouldn't need to spend hundreds of millions of pounds over the last 10 years. You would just go and spend money on Jeff Hendrick and turn him into Frank Lampard. You can't do that. There has to be talent. So I think what United are doing is, we've got the perfect person in Michael Carrick to make a centre defensive midfielder brilliant, but you've got to give him the tools to do that. Now, if you gave Michael Carrick Declan Rice, you know, Declan Rice, young player, West Ham, Carrick was there. Bring him up to Manchester from London. Carrick did that. Young, talented, got plenty of growth left in him. Now, if you gave Declan Rice to Michael Carrick, I think Michael Carrick can make Declan Rice an even better player. But Declan Rice is already a very good player with a lot of potential as a CDM. And that's what United need to do. I don't think Carrick is a bad coach. I think Carrick needs the right player to input his brilliance in that role. We're trying to do it on the cheap. We're trying to turn players that haven't got that talent square pegs in round holes, basically. That's what we're doing. Or an Ndidi. I think, Ndidi. I mean, Ndidi's a bit older and he also plays for Leicester and he's a bit more injury prone. He'd be harder to get. You bring in Ndidi to Manchester United. He's a fantastic CDM and Carrick's going to teach him things as well. So I think that Carrick can make us have a good CDM, but he can't do it with the shit players that we've got that aren't actually CDMs, are they? Garner, after a year, Mark. Well, Garner's not ready now. We need somebody now. We don't need somebody in 18 months. We need somebody now. And I do like Garner, but I'd like to see Garner on loan at Burnley or something next season. He needs another year. He's not ready now. Although United will do that. They'll play on the heartstrings. They'll go ding-ding-ding. They'll say, look, we've got Garner coming through. There's no way he's ready yet. You can't go in. Even Gerrard didn't do that, did he? You can't go in at 19 years of age and play centre defensive midfield for a top four side and run the thing. The only one I can think of who did that was Fabregas, but even then he had quality around him. It's one thing to do it at 19, which is a rarity, but it doesn't happen on your own. You know, anybody who's ever done it has had good players around them, and the problem with our midfield is that we haven't got that. I mean, if Pogba was staying, maybe. We don't need Carrick, we need a guy who coached him, says Jake Marshall. So we've spoken about that. We haven't spoken about 2 years of Ollie. We're going to be doing that on the 8 o'clock show tonight because I've really not got into that. But it is 2 years of Ollie today. So that'll be the major talking point tonight. It's going to be a very interesting show because we've got Jay and Ricky and Kev and Beth and Flex on as well. So that'll be interesting. We've spoken about Nicky Book. We've spoken about Bruno. We've also spoken about Ismaël Sarr as well. I'll drop it in here. 2 years of Ollie. What are your thoughts? Just a little bit of a snapshot. Baked and Hectic says £80 million for a concrete pylon. 2 years of Ollie for me is... I will be honest. 2 years of Ollie. We've just lost to Leicester and people are unhappy. I am okay with the 2 years that Solskjaer's put in. But okay isn't good enough, is it, really? That's the bottom line. So I'm okay with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. So, oh, look, my cup matches my jumper. You can get both, actually. Links in the video description. We've got the jumpers and we've got the new mug range. Links in the video description. Get yours. They're only been out this week, the mugs. But, 2 years of Ole for me. I mean, look, as I said at the start of the video, although it's 2 years officially as manager, are we supposed to ignore the 4 months before? Because I think people use that in an unfair way. Well, he's only been here 2 years. You can't count the interim period. Hold on a minute. The interim period is the best period he's had in the bloody club. That first 4 months was the best. He's never had it. We never played that well again. That was prime Matic. Well, in relation to his Manchester United career, prime Matic, Herrera, Pogba, Lingard, Rashford and Martial. We were very good. And the centre-backs weren't Maguire, were it? I can't remember who his centre-backs were then. I can't remember who he played at centre-back. Obviously, Bruno's made us better as a team and he's a better player than we had then. But I thought those first four months, we played really, really, really interesting, didn't we? Officially 2 years, vast majority of it's been counter-attacking football, which is nauseating. Results have been very good. Since Bruno came in, they've been ridiculously good. A third place and a second place in the league is not to be sniffed at. I certainly don't think it's sackable form. I'd argue that with anybody. I think, to me, if somebody said to me, what do you think about the 2 years of Ollie? I'd say probably two or three things. First of all, I'd say after 2 years as a Premier League manager, you are in the sack zone. And what I mean by that is, not a lot of managers get longer than 2 years. So you're in the sack zone. And I think Solskjaer knows this, and we all know this. Doesn't mean he's going to be sacked, doesn't mean he should get sacked, but what I'm saying is another dip, and I think you've got to go. You can't hide behind progression or future planning when you've had 2 years. 2 years as a Premier League manager is enough that if it goes wrong again, it's bye-bye. So I think we're in that zone. He shouldn't be sacked because we've got third, and I think we're going to get top four again. He has to now keep improving, because if he doesn't, I think it's time to say, well, you had your chance, you didn't work out, goodbye. So I think that's important. The second thing I would say is that I think that he is out of time, which is a bit like the first point. He's out of time, and the next 12 months are pivotal. Like, we can't be in a position in 12 months that's worse than now, otherwise he'd have to go. But as to end it on a positive note, after 2 years, this is the best period we've had since Sir Alex Ferguson retired. Now, that's like saying, you know, I've been throwing up all week and I didn't throw up today, but I still feel like shit, you know, but it is progress. I'm not saying it's not scintillating, exciting progress. It's not, but it's definitely progress. And I think that analogy is perfect. It's like Sir Alex Ferguson retired on Sunday. On Monday, I woke up with food poisoning. And for the last, you know, 6 days, I've been waking up, throwing up out of both holes. But today, and the last couple of days under Solskjaer, I haven't been doing that. I've been feeling, I haven't done that. I still feel a bit off. I'm not 100%, but I feel a bit better. We can't go back to throwing up out of both ends. We've got to get better and better. And I think that's a good analogy for where we are with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. We're definitely not as bad as we were under Mourinho and Van Gaal and Moyes, but we're not where we should be. Are we going to get there, or are we going to drop down again? And I think that's what I would say. So, look, Ollie outers are going to say, get rid of him, he's crap. Ollie inners are going to say, we're on a journey. And for me, I'm still willing to be on that journey. I'm sure some people are. But I think that journey cannot have any more dips. I think United has been a roller coaster, and we've accepted that. I don't think after 2 years you can be on a dip. I mean, look, to be absolutely blunt, after 2 years, why is our football still not good? After 2 years, why do we still need four players? After 2 years, why are we facing a summer of uncertainty and probably mass disruption? And after 2 years, why are we going into next season thinking we might not even get top four? You know, so a lot of that comes down to the board, though. And this will still be the case with a new manager. So a lot of it's down to the board, and we must never forget that. I just think, realistically, as I said yesterday, there's something for everybody. If you're Ollie out, it probably will happen in the next 12 months. If you're Ollie in and he's going to be successful, it's going to happen in the next 12 months. And if you're on the fence and you're just like, let's see what happens in the summer, it's going to happen in the next few months. So there is something for everybody. And I would just say you're going to have to be a little bit patient. And, you know, as I've said for a long time, we do live in a world of hope, because belief has disappeared from this fan base. There isn't many people who believe we're going to win the league next year. There's not many people who believe we're going to have a good transfer window. There's not many people who believe we're going to finish second and win the Europa League. We're hoping we will. I know you say that Nicky Butt has left due to the inept board. Don't disagree. If he's put, I've heard he's gone to become Keane's number two at Celtic, says Dave Ramsey, 18, Keane, 16. Well, you're right, Dave. But if you read the story, that's the problem. Nicky Butt felt that he should have been considered for the sporting director role, and he wasn't even approached about it. So he felt, you know, that the club were making a mistake appointing Murta. Therefore, he's going to go and do that at Celtic. So he hasn't left because that job came up. He wants to be at Manchester United, but Manchester United overlooked him. That's exactly right. If you read the story, that's exactly right. He doesn't feel that he feels that Manchester United have made a bad decision in what they've done. And he's decided to go. So, you know, I'm not saying you're wrong, but that he's not happy. He isn't happy. What do I think of the new leaked home shirt, Scott? I think it's all right. I think with kits, you always have to wait and see. And even if you don't like them, your mind will trick you into liking them eventually. Hi, Mark. Could you do a live demonstration video for the Manscaped lawn trimmer? Think everyone would appreciate seeing you that ripped trim physique, says Lloyd. Mark, the problem is that I'm afraid that Ollie is going to sack himself by selecting McFred again, says Ihab. And exactly. And if he does that, that will happen. I don't... you know, as a fan channel, I think you should always try and cover all areas, and we do try to do that. But at the moment, I actually think there is no issue in however you feel. I think time is going to provide the answer. And I think with time, Ollie outers might become Ollie inners if we do really well, or if we keep getting worse, Ollie out inners will become Ollie outers. So it's just going to take a bit of time. Now is not the time. And look, whether I think that or not, now won't be the time. They won't sack Solskjaer in the summer, but they're not going to spend 300 million on him in the summer either. So uncertainty reigns as ever. And also, as I've always said, the board is always the issue. I think if there was one magic pill we'd all swallow, it would be the Glazers are replaced with owners that are rich but want the club to be the best club in the world. That would solve everything. Because I don't think if you had a billionaire owner who wants to run this club properly and who wants to win things, do you think they would sit there? Because also, let's not forget, one of the biggest issues with the Glazers is not the fact that they don't want to put the money in to be successful. They also don't really care. I don't think they take much notice of Manchester United. They're only interested in the dividends. So if you actually had an owner like Roman Abramovich or Daniel Levy or someone like that who actually cares about the day-to-day running of the football club because they want it to be successful. And Levy's very different to Roman Abramovich, of course, because Levy wants to make money as well and wants to run the club properly. But Manchester United haven't got owners like that. Manchester United haven't got chief executives like that. Manchester United are run like a business. It's about brand deals. It's about making money for the owners. It's about, you know, servicing the debt, etc., etc. If Manchester United had owners who wanted to be successful, do you think they would watch the matches and go, you know what, Ollie, I want a word. Why is Pogba playing on the wing? And why are you playing a midfield pivot like that? Why are we playing such a low back line? Why are we not creating many chances? You've got 2 months to sort it out. And if you don't sort it out, you're gone. You know, and that's what would happen. But we don't have a... Look at Man... I tell you what, it's a well worth... there's two things I would take from this show. First of all, go and watch the first half an hour against Everton versus Man United. You'll see Pogba, Bruno and Van der Beek in the same team with Cavani pressing high up with Eric Bay on the halfway line with Maguire. It's well worth watching that half an hour and seeing how we could play. The second thing I'd say is go and look at Manchester United's board and consider Sir Alex Ferguson and Bobby Charlton are not involved. In the day-to-day running. Look at the United board and tell me who knows anything about football on there. Business people running a football club. We would benefit massively from people who are actually football people running this football club, because better footballing decisions would be made. 8 o'clock show tonight is going to be fantastic. Do not miss it. 8 o'clock tonight, it's going to be brilliant. We've got the crew on. Jay, Ricky, Kev, Beth, me, Flex, join us for that. Talking about 2 years of Ollie. I'm sure it's going to kick off different opinions, etc. Why wouldn't they be? It's a divisive topic, isn't it? Is it good 2 years? Is it not? What's the future going to hold? We're talking about that at 8 o'clock tonight. So join us live. Make sure you subscribe, bottom right-hand corner, and smash a like. I'm doing England versus Albania watch-along on That's Football at 5 o'clock if you want to join me for that. And if you want to get mugs or jumpers, the link's in the video description for the United Stand merchandise range. Hazza says, hi Mark, do you think Ollie leaving out players and not subbing them can turn off other players from joining us? Yeah, of course it can. As I said before, I don't think Erling Haaland would come to United anyway, because I think he'd look at it and go, that's not a good place to be for my career. They don't create many chances, but some people will come for the money. Thanks for watching. I'll speak to you all soon.